us that glory and honor is ascribed to our King. In fact, the Bible repeats several times that Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor. And those beasts that surround the throne day and night, they ascribe glory and honor to our thrice holy God. He is perfectly holy. And we find that there are those that in honor and humility before Him cry out saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Do you know that God is worthy of your honor tonight? Do you know that God is worthy of your glory tonight? Now, I believe that one of the ways that we honor the Lord is through our obedience to His commands. How many of you know that? And how many of you have ever grown up at home and your parents said, remember the Bible says honor your father and your mother. And normally what they were trying to drive home was that they wanted you to be obedient to them. Amen? As a means of honor. And really honor transcends just submission to that which has been commanded. But if we're not doing that, the rest of it is just window dressing. You understand? And so God is calling us to honor Him. And folks, I want to say something to you tonight that you may think, look, God calls me to love my husband and to honor my husband, or God calls me to honor my wife, and I don't even think they're worthy of it, and I don't even like them. And I'm going to tell you something. They might not be worthy of whatever it is that God calls you to do towards them, but God is worthy of your submission. God calls husbands to love their wives, and you say she's not very lovable. Don't love her because she's lovable. Love her because God is worthy of honor, and you honor Him through submission to His Word. It's kind of a paltry response tonight. You know, I see young people sometimes and they don't think their parents are very respectable. God didn't say honor them if you think they're honorable people. He said honor them. And you might think they're not worthy of my honor, but God is worthy of honor. And you honor God by submitting yourself to His will for your life. And He said honor them. So you know what? You do it anyway. You do it anyway. You know, listen, we live in such a licentious, worldly culture that wants to let man off the hook everywhere. And it's no wonder to me that we have counties all across this country that are trying to take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse wall and out of the judges' chambers and off the wall at the public high school and down at the county square or whatever it is. And I'm saying to you, man doesn't want to have to deal with the reality that there is a law by which they will be judged. Because if there's a law by which they will be judged, then that stands to reason that someone is going to sit in the seat of judgment. And if it's the Ten Commandments, then that means they're going to have to stand before God to be judged. And man would just as soon not have to think about it. And so it's easier to take the Ten Commandments away than to have them there as the reminder that one day they may be called into account before a holy judge. And sometimes I think that's one of the reasons why people don't even come to church very often, is because they don't want to have to give account for what they might have learned in church. They think that it's better for them to go on in their ignorance, and that somehow that they can plead ignorance when they give account for themselves. And the reality is, my friends, look, we will all be without excuse. The fact that you didn't read the manual does not give you a pass to disobey it. And so, I believe that there are some things that we must say tonight. And this message is entitled, Honor God. Honor God. He's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And the Bible reminds us that He created all things for His pleasure. And we who have been created by God are to render honor and glory to Him. Now, I recognize that this was written 2,000 years ago. And yet, God's will and plan for His people has not changed. The Bible says, and we quoted it this morning in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3, 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. God's will and plan is still the same, that we give Him glory, honor, and power. Now, what does it mean to honor someone? Anybody? To show them respect, prestige, say kind things about them. You know, I think all of these things are wrapped up in what it means to show honor. But really, when we show honor, we bestow worth and value that is to be cherished and esteemed upon the one that we are giving honor to. I took out my study aids and I did some looking about what this word means, and it means simply that, to ascribe value and worth, strength, honor to someone. Now, I wonder, how much do you value God? How much do you value Him? Because the worth that we ascribe to Him determines the level of honor that we bestow upon Him. The worth that we ascribe to Him determines the level of honor that we bestow upon Him. Now, how valuable is God? He, of course, is of inestimable value. It is so infinite, there are no numbers that can sum the value of God. I remember talking to Brother Bill Wing a couple of years ago before his sister went home to be with the Lord. And she was fighting a battle with cancer. I believe it was June, Darlene. And she had to take some very expensive medicine. And it got to the point where I think there was no insurance that would even cover it. And you know, she could take it once a week, and it was $2,000. And what it would do is give her strength to face one more week. Now, I don't know how that medicine came to the house. I don't know if it was through a mail order prescription or if they picked it up at a pharmacy. But can you imagine a $2,000 dose of medicine? You think you'd just set it out on the counter if it had to be in the fridge? Would you? And her life was depending upon taking that medicine for a time. I think that's how it went. How important do you think it would be to follow the instructions on taking that medicine. You think you just forget to take it 1 week if your life depended on it? You think you just give it away to somebody carelessly? You think you'd inadvertently throw it away with dirty dishes? No, I don't think so. In fact, I think that it would be of such value to you because your life depended on it and you gave your resources so that you could have it, such that it ascribed a monetary worth to it, but it could not be measured because your life depended upon it. I don't think you'd be careless with that. I don't think you'd forget. I think if the instruction said, take it at 12 noon on Monday, at 12 noon on Monday, you would have scheduled your life around that prescription. True or false? Why? Because of the worth. Your life meant something to you. You said, my life is worth at least $2,000 this week. Now let me say something to you. You can't live that long without God. And yet we are careless and haphazard with the one that we cannot live without. And he is worth a far, far, far greater value than $2,000 a week. What are your kids worth to you? Well, I got six kids, and listen, I wouldn't trade any of them. Look, I would lay down my life just like that for any one of them. I was telling my Sunday school class, I took Tim to his karate class yesterday. He was testing for his orange belt in karate, and he got it, and I was proud of him. And you know, I have to say something to you. I just found myself being very, very emotional. And, someone would have just said, well, it's, he's getting an orange belt. What's the big deal, But I looked across the room at that boy, and I just thought, I wouldn't trade him for anything in all the world. I'm so grateful for him. And yet, I want to say something to you. Sometimes we are so careless in the relationships that we claim are of inestimable worth to us. I hear people say, my family means the whole world to me. And then they sacrifice it because of their quest for success and notoriety and money. Affirmation. And what it says really is that you honor, esteem, prestige, fame, wealth more than you honor the ones that you profess to love more than anything in the world. Because to honor someone is to assign value to them, worth to them. And God is worth more than anything and worth more than anyone. And our lives are dependent upon Him to give us breath to breathe. And yet sometimes we live our lives as though we could live independently of God. And I believe there are some things that we need to consider tonight as we are challenged by the 24 elders that sit about the throne and cry out, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And I want to say to you that I'm not sure if I can assign any greater value to someone than by giving them the gift of me of all that I am. And I believe that we need to give God the honor, number one, of ourself. Of ourself. You know, the church in Macedonia honored the Lord. They had very little. They were in deep poverty. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the Bible tells us that they were an exemplary church. They were an example to all of the churches in Macedonia and Achaia. And so that their liberality was a testimony to all the churches in Asia Minor and in Europe. And Paul wrote of their forwardness to give and of their great poverty that was only surpassed by their great generosity. Why would someone who really literally had to pray, give us this day our daily bread? And I'm telling you, in this country, there are very few people that ever have to pray that and really mean it. There's enough soup kitchens and food banks and rescue missions and things like that. I remember I pastored in California, and that we had people come all the time, and they would tell me, "Oh, I haven't eaten in 3 days." And I knew, okay, if you haven't eaten in 3 days, it's because you've been strung out or high for 3 days, laying in a ditch somewhere under a bridge. It's not because you didn't want to eat. And we'd pull a card out from underneath the counter and hand it to them and say, "If you're willing to walk about 3 miles in the course of the day, you can have 7 meals today." 7! There were churches and rescue missions and soup kitchens and food banks that served on a staggered schedule. And literally, if a person wanted to eat 7 times in a day and they were willing to walk just a little bit and listen to a 30-minute message at the rescue mission, they could have eaten 7 meals in a single day. Okay? Look, our city has a social infrastructure as well. People can find a means to eat. Okay, they can't. Look, if I hadn't eaten in 3 days, you know what I'd do? I'd wander around this city and I'd find every place where there were lemons, grapefruits, and oranges hanging all over the place, falling in the street, and I'd fill up a backpack full of them and I'd live on citrus until I could get a decent meal. You understand what I'm saying? You drive through Sun City, citrus is laying all over the parkways, everywhere. You know, drive through most neighborhoods. You drive through my neighborhood. There's citrus all over the place. You can walk. It's in the parkways. You understand? People say, I'm hungry, I haven't eaten. Well, the only reason you haven't eaten is because you haven't looked for any food. You know, and I'm not talking about the dumpster behind Olive Garden. I'm talking about you get a piece of fresh fruit off a tree about anywhere in the city. Amen? But listen, it was not so in Macedonia. Those people had been cast out, ostracized, castigated, separated from their families. They'd lost their homes. They'd lost their jobs. They'd lost their property. They'd lost their fortunes. They had literally nothing. What few pennies they had to rub together, they told the Apostle Paul, "We want you to take it." Why would people who had nothing and were starving to death give money to the work of the Lord? But I want to tell you something. They didn't just give money. The Bible tells us, as we read on down there in that passage, I believe it's in verse 7 or 8, it says, "And this they did," 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I think it's verse 7 or 8, "this they did not as we hoped, but first gave themselves unto the Lord." They first gave themselves to the Lord. Why? They said, "There is nothing that we have of any greater wealth than our life. So we give you ourselves." It reminds me of the story of the little boy who heard his pastor talking every Sunday about giving to the Lord and giving as a means to show your love to the Lord. And he thought, "I love the Lord and I want to give something to the Lord." One day the offering plate went by and he took his most prized toy that he had. Was a little car, a little race car. And he put that in the offering plate. And the ushers took the funds out of the plate, and they found a little car there, and the usher went back and gave it to the little boy and said, son, you know, we can't do anything with the toys. You know, take your toy back. And next Sunday he put his toy in, and they went to the pastor, and he said, well, just give it back to him and thank him for his kindness. So the following Sunday, little boy was sitting in the back, and the offering plate came by, and he told the usher, can you please put the offering plate on the floor? And the usher said, I'm not putting the offering plate on the floor. I know, hey, you've got mischief in your heart, young man. And so the usher went to the pastor and said, you know, this little boy keeps asking me to put the offering plate on the floor. And the pastor said, you know, he always sits in the back. I don't think it would be a big problem. Why don't just you humor him one Sunday? And when he asked that, just put the offering plate on the floor for a minute. The offering plate was passed and it came his way. The little boy said, sir, would you put the offering plate on the floor, please? The little boy looked at the usher and he said, I gave my best toy, but they wouldn't receive it. And he stepped into the offering plate and he said, so I give myself. And you know, I have to tell you something. God's not interested in your money. He wants you. And he wants the honor of yourself. He wants you to give yourself unto the Lord. It's a choice that you make. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, it's a reasonable thing for the Lord to ask this of us, who has given us everything. And if we truly value God as we say that we value Him, we will honor Him by ascribing that value to Him and rendering that honor proportional to the value that we say we give Him. There's nothing more that you can give Him than you. But God doesn't want your money as much as He wants you. Can I tell you this today? That if He has you, He's got your money. Because if you'll give Him yourself, what is it that you would keep back from Him? I believe that it is important for us to recognize this, that we're not our own. We belong to Him anyway. He just asks us to give ourselves back to Him. Now, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 3, if you would. So God wants you to give Him the honor of yourself. And in Proverbs, we see something else here. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, and verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. I want you to know tonight that God wants you to give Him the honor of your substance. What is my substance? Well, the Bible goes on to tell us, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. What is God talking about? He's talking about all that we possess. That's our substance. Whatever we have monetarily, whatever we have materially, that constitutes our substance. And the Word of God says, I want you to honor God. I want you to ascribe value to Him. And I want you to render honor that is proportional to the value that you ascribe to God. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And so my gifts, my giving to the Lord is an indicator of the honor that I profess to have toward God in my life. if I do not give, what does that say about the degree to which I honor God? I want to tell you that I've been to some pretty impoverished countries of the world. I can remember going down to Costa Rica and visiting in some small villages with a missionary. And the missionary took me on a long walk. We walked down a long dirt path down to a little hut that was made out of, looked like pallets that were put together, nailed together. And there was some tar paper on the outside of that little dwelling place that had been built, looked like out of pallets and maybe some old garage doors. And it was covered in tar paper. And as we walked in, I was overwhelmed by the fact that here was some rough-hewn handmade furniture and here were some people that had just the glow of heaven on their countenance. And a little lady asked us if we would like coffee, and they had coffee plants all around. They grew coffee and picked coffee, and their hands were rough and callous because they were coffee pickers. And she took some coffee beans that she'd picked with her own hands, and she put them in a tube sock, in the end of a brand new tube sock. Literally, tied a knot in a sock, put it in a pot, and boiled the daylights out of it. And then she poured some coffee into a little teapot and served it to us. She really didn't have much, but she said, whatever I have, I want to offer it back to the servants of the Lord as an expression of the fact that this is the substance that I have. And by giving of my meager substance, I'm demonstrating to the Lord the value that I assign to Him by bestowing this honor upon His servants. And folks, let me tell you something. You may say, I'm poor, I can't give. That little lady couldn't rub 2 pesos together, but she found a way to give. She found a way. She had no doubt given herself, and because she had given herself, her substance followed, and the giving of her substance was a way that she demonstrated that she honored God. I wonder, really, if we put your giving record for the last 12 months up on the screen, and we're not going to do it, don't worry about that. We're not even going to dwell on this for more than just a few seconds, okay? So don't sweat it. But if we put your giving record up here, could we look at your giving record for the last 12 months on the screen and say, now there's a person who honors God with their substance. Now there's a person who assigns a greater value to God than anything else in their life. What if we could say that? Well, Pastor, you know, you see, the thing is, I know. I'm just asking, okay? I'm not suggesting anything. I'm not trying to say that I'm that and you're not, or you're something and I'm not. I'm just saying, look, I wonder, can we look at the portion of our substance that we honor the Lord with and say that we really honor God more than anyone or anything else in the world? Because of the value that we have assigned to Him, and because of the bestowal back of our substance to the Lord as a proportional measure of the honor that we have in our heart toward the One who gives us breath to breathe. You know, it's a funny thing sometimes. People get an attitude towards the work of the Lord. You know, they have a bad experience in church, and you know what? They lay out a church. They have a bad experience at Denny's, and you know, they still keep eating out. You understand? Yeah. Sometimes people say things like this to me. Well, I don't want to force my kids to go to church because I might turn them off on religion. So then, You're not going to force your kids to go to school because you don't want to turn them off on education. Is that the way it is? Or is it just God that you hate? You understand? Why is it that we have a negative bias sometimes against God and His work? We think, well, people are just people everywhere you go, and we'll take it when someone's rude to us, and we'll keep going back to a dining establishment because we like the food, but somebody's unkind to us at church, and we want to sign off on the whole thing. We want to say they're all a bunch of idiots down there. You know it? Listen. Yesterday, there's over 70 people down here working. I was praising the Lord for it. I looked around. I saw all the work that had been done. And a little while before church, I went in one of the restrooms. I looked, and someone had taken a whole bundle of paper towels and shoved them in the commode. Now, why'd you do that? You surprised by that? You never had kids? It didn't surprise me. But folks, listen. Somebody would go in there and say, I cleaned that toilet 3 times yesterday, and I'm sick and tired of these rug rats, these little brats, filling the commodes up with wet paper towels and clogging up the toilet, and we have to pay for a plumber. I'm tired of this. Somebody needs to teach these kids a lesson. Right? Unless it's your kids. Right? Then mine would never do that. Except on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. But never on the Lord's Day. No. You know, we have a negative bias of the things of the Lord sometimes. Can I tell you something? It amazes me how people, they start falling in love with buildings. I thank the Lord for Freeway Baptist Church, but if this building burned down tomorrow, we'd still have a church. We just wouldn't have a building. Because the building isn't the church. The building is comprised of living stones. That's you. Now, folks, let me say this to you. I'm not going to love brick and mortar and sheetrock and wood more than I love those that Jesus died to save. Now, there's a verse in Proverbs that goes like this. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. How many of you know what the crib is? What is it? It's a stall where the ox dwells, right? And if you don't have an ox, guess what? You have a clean stall. Before Timothy and Phoebe were on the scene, guess what? You can eat an egg off the floor in my house any time of the night or day. Now, you have to pick your tile. Okay? So what am I going to do? Get rid of the stinking little kids that are always making a mess? No. What are we going to do around Freeway? We've got all these kids. They want to write their name on the wall. They want to, you know, tear up the seats, and they want to spill red dye number 40 all over the carpet, and they want to tear things up, and it costs money to maintain all this. So what are we going to do? Are we going to stop running buses and telling people about Jesus so we can keep a clean church? Are we going to be more in love with the temporal, assign a greater honor and value to temporal things than we do to eternal things? Now, look, you're looking at a guy who's halfway OCD. I mean, I want it to be clean. I mean, I had him out here with the ruler yesterday making sure that the chairs were straight and proper number of inches between each one, and we're cleaning them. And you know, people were scared to see me coming around because they just knew that even though they thought it was done, I was going to find something more for them to do on that project, you know. And I walked in the nursery, and there's Marilee and Kathy, and they're like, "You want to do an inspection?" And they were kind of timid about it, you know. And I get OCD about that, but you know what? I love Marilee and Kathy more than I love the nursery. And if the nursery gets dirty, we're not shutting her down. We're going to clean it and invite more people to church. You know why? Because we want to value the things that God values. And we can bestow honor upon the Lord by giving honor unto those things that are near to His heart. Honor the Lord with yourself. Give Him the honor of yourself. Give God the honor of your substance. That's all that you have. And then, I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for a moment. Are you with me? We're almost done here. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says this in verse number 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to, what? Honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto, what? Honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Thirdly, tonight I want to challenge you to give God the honor of your service. Give God the honor of your service. David was a king. There was nothing that the king desired that he could not have. And in fact, we find that when David was running from Saul at a point, he lamented that he wished he could have just a drink of the water of the well in Bethlehem. And his mighty men of valor put their lives on the line. They hazarded their lives to go behind enemy lines into the city of David, into Bethlehem, and to draw a drink of water for their king from the well. They went back across the line and they gave that offering to their king. A drink of water that they hazarded their lives to give him. And David was so overwhelmed by that act of devotion that as a tribute and an offering, he poured the water out because he did not believe that he was even worthy to drink of it because of what it cost. And that man that people would have died just to bring a drink of water to, said, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my king than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather just be a servant, be the butler, be the doorkeeper, to do a little esteemed work my king, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, to live it up, to live the vita loca, so to speak, compared to serving my Lord. That holds no value for me." I wonder, really, are you a vessel unto honor? Have you purged yourself from those dishonorable things? And have you offered yourself not just to show up, but to engage the work of the Lord? To say, "I'm going to serve my Lord with gladness as an act of honor. He's worthy of my service. He's worthy of my service." I remember I took my son Jonathan to West Coast Baptist College. And during this first semester, I went up to the college. I can't remember what it was for some event or meeting. And I wanted to see him. And as we were walking across the campus, he said, "Dad, you see that guy over there pulling weeds in that field? On his hands and knees pulling weeds out in the field?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "He's got a PhD from some university," he said it. "Look at that, Dad. He's out there pulling weeds on his hands and knees. Not because that's his job, but because he doesn't think he's too big for it." You know, I'm going to tell you something. You know why people don't serve the Lord? Because they value their own life more than they value God. What I've got planned is more important to me than what God would have me to do. So I'm just going to do what I want. And they dishonor God. God would have us to faithfully serve Him. God's not impressed with people showing up at Thanksgiving to serve turkey to a homeless person. God's not impressed with that. He wants to know, will you serve me with your life? Not just give me a couple of days a year. Oh, on any given Thanksgiving or Christmas, you could go down to South Central Los Angeles to the Hood, and you'll find celebrities aplenty that are looking for a photo op. You'll find politicians aplenty because they're looking for a photo op. But it's not about a sincere desire to serve. You'll find a politician from Washington, D.C., finding their way to Habitat for Humanity, and they'll put on the blue jeans and the work boots and the hard hat long enough to nail in one nail and for everyone to get a good photo, and then they're whisked away in the limousine, and it's all smoke and mirrors. It's not about a life of service. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I believe that there are some people that that's their Christian life. They want to help out for the things that they perceive to be glamorous and that others are going to notice them serving. But when it comes to just getting your hands dirty, pulling weeds out of the granite beds when nobody's watching and it's 90 degrees, that's a sincere-hearted servant of the Lord that says, "I esteem God more than I esteem the praises of men." So that says to God, I'm giving Him the honor of my service out of a sincere heart. Out of a sincere heart. Tonight, it's a simple message. Honor God. He's the only one that's really worthy of it. To honor God is to bestow worth, value, and power upon Him. To assign our worship and praise to the one who's worthy of it. And tonight, there's no greater way that you can honor God than giving Him the honor of yourself. And then, if you give Him yourself, what follows naturally behind that is your substance, all that you have. And then thirdly, give Him the honor of your service. You say, "Well, I don't know. I don't have the gift of gab. I can't teach. I don't know what I can do." Look, there's something that everybody can do. It doesn't matter. Holly, I'm going to embarrass you a minute. She comes down to church, and you know what she does? She sits in the back and helps Jenny by folding tracts, by collating, by filing, by cleaning, by cutting, by whatever needs to be in. It's not glamorous. There's no camera back there. There's no photo op. She didn't ask for accolades. She'd probably be mad at me for saying this. But she doesn't have to have a title. She doesn't have to be on the leadership team or be a deacon or whatever. You don't have to have a title to serve God. Just serve God. Right? I mean, I walked out here last night. Here's Brother Scott standing on a ladder trimming a tree. I looked out in the parking lot. There's Brother Bobby pushing a broom. I looked in the back. There was Brother RJ standing on a ladder painting some trim with his boys, helping him. But there was Brother Richard painting the toddler nursery. I looked out. There was Brother Arnaldo putting a new coat of stucco or plaster or whatever on the flower bed there.
Listen, that's what it takes. God's people saying, look, it doesn't matter what my level of education is. You know, here's a doctor out there pushing a broom. Said, it's not below me. It's not beneath me. He was saying, I honor the Lord. I'm going to honor him by serving him. By serving him. It's an act of humility before him. Tonight, simply give honor to the only one that is worthy of it, to God. And if we don't, all it communicates is that we esteem ourselves more than we esteem the King of Kings.